is kind of like sacrificial giving. And I think it's really important in this industry because it is hard. Heck, the secular world is dog eat dog, right? And it's not much different in the Christian community.
That was Michael McIntyre. He's the co-founder of Echoes of Creation. It's an event for creatives in the world of entertainment. We're talking to him along with several people who were a part of that event. They include Grammy Award-winning composer and producer Michael Mani, as well as Carrie Lloyd. She's a pastor, journalist, and author who has worked in the areas of film and television as well. But let's begin our conversation from Studio 5 with Michael McIntyre.
So in preparing to sit down and talk to you, I kept hearing eight-figure entrepreneur. Where did that happen? What happened?
Oh, wow. kind of like in another lifetime, really. I've always been really gifted at business. And coming out of the Air Force, served 4 years in the United States Air Force. Coming out of that, I wanted to get into business right away, which I did, and ended up in Dallas, Texas. And started an insurance agency from that. And it expanded, and one thing led to another. Then the next thing you know, over a 20-some year expansion, we were in 40 states. And we reorganized and created what we call Blue Ocean in the insurance industry. And it was very, very successful. And we created like 175 multimillionaires in that period of time. Which was my wife and I's philosophy is we wanted to people to enjoy them, you know, enjoy the wealth, spread the wealth, so to speak. Most businesses are like this, you know, just the top get really wealthy. And, you know, we didn't want that. We wanted other people that wanted that same gifting and that same drive to experience that. And so that's what we did. And then in 2007, which was great, we took it from $0 to $3 billion. Then we sold the company in 2007. And ironically, and not so ironically, that's the year I came to Jesus.
Oh, wow.
So I often quip that on my road to Damascus, I got knocked off my Bentley.
I like that.
Yes.
I like that. So we're sitting here at Echoes of Creation, a conference. What gave birth to this idea of bringing people together, Christian creatives, if you will?
Yeah. It's really a good question. My wife, Stacy, of 38 years, 3 years ago, God dropped on her revolution of love. Because what we do in our next level experience in our work is kind of revolutionary. And one of the pastors came up there and said, you know, this is such a revolutionary thing. In fact, Victory went through it and she said, this is a revolution. And so Stacy said, God showed her, we need to create the revolution of love. And so with that, God's put all these creatives around us, you know, Victory Boyd, Trinity Anderson, Mike Manny, Blake Kanica, all these crazy, because I'm not a musician, okay? I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, right? And so, but he kept bringing these people around us. And so Stacy said, let's do something about this. Let's create some, because one of the things creatives always want is they need desperately is hope. Right? Because there's a lot of creatives out there. There's a lot of singers and songwriters, book writers, but they might not be able to get a platform. So we wanted to create a platform for them, a networking opportunity for them in the kingdom. Because the secular world's got it figured out. The secular world knows we're going to network, but there's an agenda for me. It's one that what's in it for me. And what we want to bring is a kingdom networking that is what's in it for him. And to bring that in, everybody comes in and wins, and everybody gets to glorify God in that.
Seek ye first, and then the rest will happen.
That's right. Knock and the door shall be opened. Yes.
What's the process been like for you in putting this inaugural conference networking event together, if you will? What's been the process like?
Yeah, it's really stepping out of our own comfort zone, okay? It's been stepping out of the boat and trusting in Him. And what we've been so blessed with, and the Holy Spirit showed up, is bringing us talent, you know, from Bethel to Dallas to Gateway to all these mega places and some small places, obscure, you know, some people that never have been discovered yet. The process has been hard, okay? There's spiritual warfare. And we knew that this conference is anointed, this event is anointed, because the enemy's coming at it. And so it's been a out of the box, out of the comfort zone experience. And now that it's here happening, it's like, thank you, Jesus, we made it. And it's so exciting just seeing the people get ignited and getting that kingdom connection. So it's been a wonderful experience. And it's been a difficult experience. And just like anything out there, you know, it's like I always tell people, you know, Jesus could have easily moved the stone for his friend Lazarus so they can go in there and raise him from the dead. But he asked them, the people there, move the stone. Mm-hmm. So we've had to move the stone. And then God gets to work in this. So we've had a big stone to move, mm-hmm. but by the grace of God, we've moved it.
And speaking of stones to move, when it comes to the entertainment world, filmmaking, mm-hmm. singers, songwriters, it doesn't matter what genre of the industry you're in, this is a difficult path to walk.
It is.
I mean, for people in the secular world, it's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of pain, a lot of living without.
Yeah.
What do you want? I hate to call them starving artists, but those who have these giftings and
sure.
are kind of at the end thinking, okay, God, did you call me to this? Because this isn't working.
Right, I haven't eaten in 2 days. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what we want to do is share platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think for too long, the church has not been not wanting to share enough platforms. Just like with the blessings for you guys being here at CBN, you're sharing your platform, and we're so grateful for that. And I think it's so important that we not only help people up the ladder, but we lower it and reach a hand down there to bring them up. And that's what Stacy and I want to do here in Echoes of Creation, is bring them together, form a community of like-minded individuals that say, hey, here's my struggle. Here's somebody that helped me out. Here's a record label company. Here's a movie director. Here's the guys that did Unplanned. Here's, you know, they can teach you. They can give you. And look, they're not asking for a check. They're not asking for a wire transfer. They're just asking, they're pouring out. And I think it's kind of like sacrificial giving. And I think it's really important in this industry because it is hard. Heck, the secular world is dog eat dog. Right, and it's not much different in the Christian community.
Unfortunately.
And we want to make it easier. And if somebody gets discovered, great. We want to applaud them. We want to help them. And if somebody gets a contract underneath them, let's bring in our other people here to say, is this the right way? Mm-hmm. Is this from him? Is this the right way you want to do? Because sometimes artists, creatives, they've never seen a big check. Mm-hmm. And then what do they? That's enticing, but look at the bottom line. Yeah, so we want to help them in all aspects, kind of a holistic approach. But yeah, it is tough, and we want to make it easier for them. We want to make the path easier, but a righteous path.
How difficult or how easy was it to decide who was going to be the keynote, who was going to lead workshops, that list?
That was actually the easiest thing to do, mm-hmm. Ephraim. I'm really telling you. We talked to Bethel out there, and they said, listen, you got to bring Carrie Lloyd in. I didn't know Carrie Lloyd. I couldn't have found her in the lineup. Okay? But then I Googled her and thought, wow, she's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And of course, then I got on the phone with her. She's got a British accent. That sold me right away. Right? And so, yeah, that was great. Victory Boyd, she's been in our tribe for a long time, and she was very gracious. She goes, yes, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. Even on a tour with Lauren Daigle right now. I mean, mm-hmm. Blake Kanica, my son-in-law, he's a Grammy Award-winning music producer. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, he's all in, although he's doing stuff in Los Angeles, flying back and forth. So everybody came together, and they sacrificed to be here. But it was not difficult. Once the party got started, once we had like 3 or 4 people saying yes, then it's like anything else. You know, if we say yes and go out there and do things, then God will start making the way. Mm-hmm. And I think once we said yes and actually put money down, then God started showing a way.
How does the insurance guy, entrepreneur, get so meshed in the world of entertainment?
Great question. I ask myself that, I promise you, at least twice a week, because I'm surrounded by these magnificent artists. And I know God's telling me something. I know he's saying, McIntyre, this is what I want. I want you to use your creative marketing ideas, your business savvy, whatever it is, my entrepreneurial spirit and risk-taking mm-hmm. to help these people. And that's what I did. And that's what Stacy and I are doing. Okay, you know, we're spending money like the Federal Reserve this weekend. It's like, all right, God, show up, man.
Yes.
And we're doing it because these are your people. You loved it. Mm-hmm. And we want to honor your people. And so, yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. But he knows. Mm-hmm. And I'm trusting him in this process.
My last question for you. This is called Echoes of Creation. Where did that title come from?
It's good. I came up with that. Mm-hmm. God's the ultimate creator, right? Mm-hmm. God is our you know, we're all made in his image. When he created us, we are made in his image. That means we all have creativity. Whether you're an actuary, an accountant, a banker, a songwriter, a movie producer, a film actor, we all are creative. And so we all are echoes of his creation. Mm-hmm. From the original time when he made this earth and when he spoke it into existence, we are all echoes of his creation. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I looked at that as a renaissance, as a revival, especially in the Christian community. We need to take this entertainment mountain. Mm-hmm. It's really important. Mm-hmm. And I believe the time is now. And I believe the mask of Satan's getting ripped off on a national scale, on a world scale. And it's our turn to come in, and it's our response. It's not only the ability, but our responsibility to come in there as Christians, as believers, mm-hmm. and take this entertainment mountain and make it good entertainment, not just a typical, bulletproof or horn. What was that one? Fireproof. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great message. Crummy movie. Mm-hmm. Right. God bless them. You know, I even paid money to go to the theater to see that movie. My wife told me to sit down 3 times. But the message was fantastic.
Absolutely.
The production wasn't. So we want to make great messages like that, like Jesus Revolution was done in excellence, right? And I want to do those things, but people need a leg up. They need financing. We're going to provide financing. They need direction. We're going to give them direction. We're going to give them counseling, entrepreneurship, and we're going to give them leadership skills to walk into those spaces with confidence and not be taken advantage of, mm-hmm. and also learn how to get their music to the next level, so to speak.
Mm, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
How's that?
That was excellent.
Is that a take?
Thank you. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so impressed. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Michael McIntyre is passionate about helping others and coaching other leaders in the world of business and even in ministry. You can find out more about Michael by visiting his website, michaelmcintyre.com. Let's now turn to Grammy Award-winning composer and producer Michael Mani. He's worked with the likes of Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, and Eric Clapton. Let's dive right in.
What made you say yes to participating in Echoes of Creation, a conference for creative people? You've got a busy schedule, I know. So what made you say?
All right. It came through a very good friend of mine, mm-hmm. who I trust, mm-hmm. and I've worshiped with in church, named Sandy McGuire, mm-hmm. who's a really good personal friend of my wife's. Mm. And when she calls, I know it's something really interesting or spirit connected. And I know God's behind it when she calls and invites us to things. Mm. And she had mentioned Michael McIntyre's name to me in the past. Mm-hmm. So she called me excited one night. She said, I've got Michael McIntyre on the line. He wants to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Now, this has been a long day in the studio. And I didn't really feel prepared. I like to be on first impressions or everything. So uh-huh. I said, can we talk tomorrow? And she said, no. So she got me on the phone with him and he just lit it up. Mm-hmm. And we just connected. When he started telling me about his wife's vision of the Echoes of Creation, mm-hmm. fell right in line with what my thoughts and principles are with how I make music and why I make music and mm-hmm. how God and Jesus are behind it. And I just said yes immediately after he kind of told me about it. I said, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. So why do you make music?
I have a passion for it. I mm-hmm. grew up in a spiritual household and a musical household. Mm-hmm. My mother was taught catechism at church and also was a classical pianist. And when we got a piano in our house when I was 7, she would notice when she was making dinner that the notes that she was playing earlier were starting to come from the living room. Mm-hmm. And she recognized at an early age that I had a good ear. So I, through that, realized that I had this gift and this passion for playing music and piano, and I started to improvise, and it's just something I always loved to do. If we were gone on vacation, the first thing I'd do when I got home was run and start playing the piano. So I've just, the passion for getting up every day and playing music has just always been there. And that's, as I aged and got older and more mature, I realized that God's behind that. And that's been quite a journey. Doing right and wrong and figuring out obedience is at the core of God giving you more blessings and on my path. So I think for my mom, I've mm-hmm. got a spiritual connection with music and it kind of intertwined.
Nice. There. What's been the lowest low on this musical journey for you?
Oh, God. Which one? There's been some lows. Mm-hmm. I've had artists stolen from me. I've driven all the way down to LA and auditioned for rock bands to find out that they needed a singer and not a keyboard player. And at one audition, I was on stage And they just said, well, can you play it? I thought we were going to be playing with the band, and it was just a keyboard with the microphone. And I said, oh, I don't know what to play. Just throw something at me. And a milk carton came flying up on the stage. So I grabbed my keyboards and kind of slunk out of the room. That was a pretty low point.
Wow.
And I was a teenager.
What's been the highest high?
I found a young artist named Becky G. Mm-hmm. And we had developed some songs for her. And I was at a label meeting at RCA Records and mm-hmm. with Rady Hancock. And at the end of the meeting, she said, what else are you working on? So I pulled out a couple of videos of this artist, and she said, can I have these? I said, sure. So the next day we got back into, I was with my partner, Jordan, who's, I have a production company called The Jam. So we've been doing some artist development. Mm-hmm. So we got back to LA, we got a phone call from a producer named Dr. Luke, who had had like 41 number one hits with Katy Perry and Britney and all sorts of crew. Mm-hmm. So we knew very well who he was. Mm-hmm. So he said, can you come over to my house in Hollywood? So we got in the car, got Becky, went over to his house, and within 10 minutes, he offered us a record deal on his brand new label called Kemosabe Records. And I think I floated out of that room. But there's been a couple moments in my career. That was probably one of the highest.
What's your connection to Tori Kelly?
Tori Kelly, I was working for a record producer named Nardo Michael Walden. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, he produced Aretha Franklin and Mariah Carey with Houston, and he was in my backyard. Mm-hmm. He kind of gave you my start. That's a whole nother story. But I had met a couple young songwriters, and as a keyboard player and music arranger, I need a lyricist, and one of the guys in that band was a lyricist. Mm-hmm. His mother at one point, we started working together, his mother at one point said, you have to see this young girl, this young lady on YouTube. And she showed us a video of Tori Kelly. She was 12 years old singing in this little talent contest. So we reached out to her through YouTube, got a hold of her parents. They came. I was living up in San Francisco at the time and renting a little studio down in Hollywood. And the parents came over with Tori. And we ended up, before she got there, I kind of came up with some chords. And it was my partner came up with a lyric called My Song. Mm-hmm. So we wrote it for her and she sang it. And it just clicked. It was just one of those divine moments. I always know when God's opening a door or mm-hmm. connecting me to something. There's just a feeling you get. And everything just goes so well when God's part of it. Mm-hmm. And I try to do things on my own, and it never happens. I could work 6 months on something. It does not happen. God says it's so, and it happens in about 20 minutes. I have so many of those moments in my life that it's undeniable when God's hands on it. And God put Tori Kelly in our life.
So nice to say Michael Monte discovered Tori Kelly.
In a way, I helped her on her journey at a point. Obviously, mm-hmm. she was on a talent show, mm-hmm. so somebody else had put her on a TV show that I found her. Mm-hmm. So could he say that I discovered Tori? But God's hand was on Tori Kelly. She's very talented and was probably one of the greatest singers I've had a chance to work with.
Wow. Who else? Have you worked with Mariah Carey? Have you worked with Whitney Houston?
When I moved to LA, I met Nick Cannon. Mm-hmm. And I had built, one of the things that God told me to do was build a recording facility, and I didn't have the money for it, but somehow it materialized, and I found a contractor to help me build out a 5-room music production facility in North Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I had met Nick Cannon through some meetings, and he needed help with some music production, so we became friends with my partner, and we started producing music for Nick. And through that, Mariah would come through the studio, and we worked on a couple pet projects with them.
Nice.
So that was fun. Oh. She's a very, very sweet girl, a little shy.
But she's shy, really?
Yeah, well, sometimes. About singing. Michael Bolton was very shy. I worked with him, too. And it took a lot to get him to start opening up on a song we were working on. But there's such high expectations for artists of that caliber sometimes mm-hmm. that they don't really, if they haven't warmed up or they don't feel prepared, you know, they don't want to really offer a weak moment up. Mm. So they can be a little hesitant to perform.
Makes sense. Now, Whitney Houston, any connection?
I did a remix. I did some work with Narda, but okay. She was right. I came into that studio right after she had kind of cut the songs that she had cut, and I'd met her a couple times and worked on some remixes for her. But
what's been the lesson for you on this journey of music and faith?
I feel like we have an enemy, and he's very intertwined in the music industry. I've seen him, and he's stolen things from me all the time. And through our obedience, we can defend against him. So I think my walk with God and the blessings that he has in store for all of us, mm-hmm. I think through our obedience, then we capture those blessings, we can hold on to them, and nobody can steal them. And that goes not just in music, but I think in anything you're trying to pursue. But I think God is the essence of creativity. I think the first line in the Bible is God created the heavens and the earth, and God loves to create. And I think his gift to us is creation. He allows us to create, not just with music, but we can create children and paintings and poems. And God, I think God's ultimate joy is to create. And so the blessings that come from those things, I appreciate. I know when I'm trying to do it myself, and I know when God, his hand's on it, and I know when his voice is commanding me to do things too. So,
what was life like when you won the Grammy for instrumental song?
That was kind of an act of interesting obedience. I was, I'm a terrible golfer, but I was playing golf with my dad, who had invited me out for a special round. I think it was a small tournament. And I got a call from an engineer that I knew. And I was kind of half excited to answer the call because I don't get paid as much when he calls me as I normally like. But I picked it up anyways, and he said, how quickly can you get over? And he said that to the studio. And he's done that to me before, and I said, I can come. He goes, get over here right now, I got something big. So I was on the sixth hole with my dad, I threw my clubs, and I'm jumping over the fence. And I'm like, I gotta go. So I had to explain it all to my dad later, but I picked up a couple keyboards, ran over to a studio in Berkeley at Fantasy Studios, and I walk in not knowing what I'm walking into, and there's Carlos Santana and Eric Clapton. And my friend Steve had me set up some of my gear in the control room, and they were out in the studio behind the glass, and Carlos's manager came up and said, we've got Eric Clapton here for maybe an hour and a half. He's got to catch a flight. We want to get him on this record. And it turns out it was the Supernatural album they were working on, of all things. So Carlos came in and said, hey, Mike, I'd met him in a couple of sessions. I'm from Marin. It's a very small community. He knew Narda, the producer I was working with. So I'd met him in some other settings. And he played me a beat that he liked on a CD. And then he went out and started talking with Eric again. And I put a little beat together. And they put their guitars down after about 20 minutes. Time was running. They had a film crew. The engineers were ready to record. Nothing was happening. The manager was pulling his hair out. I'm like, we got to get something. So they walk in, and they started to say goodbye. And I said, hey, Carlos, you want to hear the groove I put together? So he said, yeah. So we put it up on the big speakers, and I hit play. It was just like an 8-bar loop. And they're like, oh, this is great. So they ran back out, grabbed the guitars, jammed on it for 20 minutes or so. Eric came back in. They put some solos in the front of it. And then Eric had to leave and go to the airport. We had some singers come in, sing some quick parts, and I left. So a couple months later, I'm watching the Grammy Awards with my wife, and Carlos is winning all these awards for the Supernatural record, and I see on the screen, Rock Instrumental of the Year, The Calling, which was the name of the song that we'd worked on. And I'm like, I just won a Grammy Award. So that's how that happened. Wow. And I had to tell my dad, look, remember when I jumped over the fence? And well, how do you connect all that? But that's God. Mm-hmm. And for me, I see all these series of things and doors that he opens up. And all of the work and love, I wake up and feel like there's nothing to do. I'm not going to make a dollar, but I'm going to go make a beat, and I'm going to go make some music. It's all that training that when that door opens, that I'm ready for that opportunity that God's given me, and I can do the best I can. So,
yeah. Wow. Yeah. What's next?
What's next? You know, that's a great question. I've got some artists that I'm working with. I still love making music. I'm as excited to make music as I was when I was 19. Mm. And I love technology. I embrace all the technology with computers, where we didn't have quite as many of those things when I was coming up. But I love everything you can make. I love collaborating with younger producers. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten to be a much more collaborative industry, where there were fewer keyboard players that could afford all the equipment when I was coming up. Mm-hmm. Now every kid that's got a laptop's got GarageBand and Logic, and they can make music. Mm-hmm. Developing more talent. I've got some talent that I'm interested in. Doing more kingdom projects. Uh-huh. So wherever God points me, I'm less resistant. I'm less trying to find the things in Hollywood and more trying to find the pearls and gems that God's got in front of us.
Is there a Christian recording artist you got your eye on that you would love to work with?
She's upstairs. Her name's Trinity Anderson. She's pretty amazing.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. Thank you. Great talking to you.
You too.
Now you can follow his work by going to his website, michaelmani.com. We're going to continue our conversations from Studio 5 with key members of Echoes of Creation. This time we're talking to pastor, journalist, and author Carrie Lloyd, who's also worked in the film and television industry.
So we're here at the Echoes of Creation conference, where young creatives are learning from people like yourselves and getting mentored and advice. What made you say yes, that this is something you wanted to do?
I was bribed and threatened by Mike and Alan. I've always loved this topic. It's my favorite topic, to be honest with you. Even though I've pastored and I've been involved in the Christian world, I came from a secular world. I was a hardcore atheist, and I always really revered the excellence and the brilliance of the craftsmanship of creatives within the secular world. Mm. And one of the journeys that I've often veered away from were Christians working in the creative industry. No offense to everyone maybe watching this, but for me, it was really important that we actually started to build a bridge between some of the talent and the craft between the secular world and making sure that we can actually pour into the Christian, because we're full of talent, but we don't really give platforms or places really to give them a chance to actually give the risk and fighting for the courage to be able to try out new things. So that's what kind of allured me to the conference, was to go, what does it look like to have really great craft and to be learning not just for me to pour into some people who might be interested in writing a book, but I'm also wanting to learn myself, honestly, with some of the filmmakers I'm working on scripts at the moment. And for me, it is all about just developing. We can never learn too much about this industry. And I'm delighted that Michael's actually brought in a genre of different people and different diverse talents that we can actually all rub off on each other and really help each other in the craftsmanship. So because of the excellence of Michael and what he brings to the table as a businessman, I thought, I'm sure you're going to get a caliber of really great people. So it was just a real honor to be asked on the writing spectrum of things, what it looks like. And we are seeing in the industry now, more than ever before, some phenomenal pieces of work finally getting its sort of limelight into the mainstream. And I think it's got a, I think we've got a beautiful message to say, and I think we need a bit more light. I think we need to stop being so shocking for the sake of being shocking and actually really get back to beautiful storytelling. Nice. So that's what I wanted to get involved in here. I'm as much of a student as I am as teaching on stage. So so I've been learning stuff already.
Nice. What are some of the lessons you've learned thus far?
Oh, good question. I think what was lovely, actually, listening to Chuck and Carrie recently, just going, you know, it's not enough that you love Jesus. You actually have to have a good idea and some element of talent in this. And I think sometimes we're like, Lord, just let it fit in our lap and then we'll carry it for you. And we don't really think about the discipline of working in the creative. I mean, just from looking at some of my work, dare I say, you know, 10, 15 years ago to now, I normally tell people that my first two books were out of print, even though they're not. So I'm like, please don't read it. Please don't read it. And there's just this journey of, oh, yeah. But we also have to find some place to start and actually start with the page. Mm-hmm. And even if we're sort of even sharing our teenage journal, and that's the best that we can do. There is a, I don't know, I think I loved what they were sharing about the importance of excellence, but also that it's a journey and that the need for perseverance, recognizing that this is actually a very painful process. Mm. And you do need a huge element of courage to do it, which is why it's so sort of inspiring when we see people gain success, momentum, and be able to actually start making some serious storytelling happening and working for the ears to actually listen and pierce genres and diverse stories that we may have closed off to, you know.
So you yourself, pastored, author, what advice would you give someone just starting out saying, I know there's a book in me somewhere and I want to see it?
Yeah, as an author, when you start doing book signings, people come up to you and go, oh, I've got a book in me, or you wrote the book that I wanted to write, those kind of things. And so after I apologize, I then, then say, you know what would be really interesting for us all to start with. And as I was a journalist before I started doing books, so the gift of asking the right questions and being curious, I think, was probably one of the most powerful tools that helped me. And sometimes we can get apathetic, either in our, maybe in our fear, maybe we've disqualified ourselves because we think the story's already been done. But you could talk about the same subject from 50,000 different angles and it's still a new story. So I think the gift of curiosity, really piercing into the questions of people's lives, biopics, documentaries, all those things where we're learning about life, people's stories, I think are a great place to start. On top of that, I like to collect as much observational pieces as I can. I was speaking this morning about the power of curiosity, the importance of curiosity. And sometimes even just listening, so for example, 3 months ago, I was told, the Lord told me in prayer, you need to start learning sign language. And I thought, why? Because there's no one in my world that needs me to sign. Mm-hmm. I learned a bit of British Sign Language probably about 20 years ago. But I thought, I don't understand, why are you telling me to do that? But I was obedient and I got an app and I started learning. And I thought, okay, I'll just do 5 minutes in the car here and there, mm-hmm. you know. And then about 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call from a former boss that was like, Carrie, we need you to look at a script. At the moment, it's got great bones, but we need you to kind of look at it. And the script is actually about the deaf community, and the writer is deaf. So there's something, sometimes you have to be obedient to certain things before you know the why. And as long as we are actually jumping into that yes, then we actually start, the answers follow once we say yes. Uh-huh. But sometimes we want the answers before we say yes. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to start and you're wanting some clear signs mm-hmm. from the Lord that this is the right path to go, I would say favor isn't always of the Lord. That can be a massive distraction. Mm-hmm. And so certain doors that are open, always check that it is of Him, not of just some sort of favorable distraction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, make sure that we're just taking every single day as it comes. I think we build our own confidence as creators when we're just doing tiny moments of experience. So I think we think that we'll only be confident once we've had the success or the accolade, but actually building our own confidence comes with experience. It doesn't matter how many affirmations or declarations you do in the morning. We're big on the manifestations thing at the moment, but I actually think experience builds the confidence, knowing that you can actually do it, knowing that you can set aside some disciplined routine time for writing or mm. whatever it looks like. Yeah. Set in small steps so you can build the confidence in you.
Nice. Speaking yeah. of curiosity and questions, I want yeah. to talk about your latest book. Mm. And that's The Legacy Letters,
yes.
correct?
Yes.
That's sort of founded on asking the right questions,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
What gave birth to this?
Well, I cheated, really. I thought, I don't want to do a whole manuscript just now. I'd like to write a book, but how do I do it without the writing? How do I do it? So I decided, well, it actually started with, again, curiosity. About 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I gave my mother an empty book, leather bound with her name engraved into it. And I said, Mum, I want you to write all the stories about your childhood, principles of your life, things that have got you through tough times, things that you wish that you'd known much earlier on at my age to kind of embrace and embellish that. And I felt like we were going through, it seems that every single young generation berates and bemoans of the older generation. Mm-hmm. And we've lost sometimes the opportunity of wisdom from them learning and living life, even though we might think that they're backdated or they're falling behind in progressive times. I think actually we need to be learning from both their mistakes as well as their great learnings. Mm-hmm. And so when Mum handed me back this book, I was like, my gosh, I thought I knew my mum inside out, but I know just the surface level of my mother, my own yeah, mother. Yeah. And so what it created then was, why don't we give this book a prompted journal that basically hands questions over, deep questions, journalistic questions that are like, I'm not interested in what your favorite thing is for breakfast. I want to know what was your darkest hour of your life and how did you get through it? And so it gives us the principles to live by, and then that becomes our legacy. So we hand the book over to someone that inspires us. It doesn't have to be a parent, it can be a grandparent, it can be a spiritual mentor, a teacher, a coach. Mm-hmm. Give it to them for 6 months, a year, and then they give it back to you with the answers, and you hold their legacy as a letter to you. And hopefully their pain is our gain in some way. It's mm-hmm. deep. Some people are like, no, I don't want to ask those questions. But I'm very thankful for the ones that are. And we've actually been seeing people actually heal their relationships between their parents and whoever, even if it's a slightly fractious relationship, asking questions invites compassion in a way that perhaps we didn't know them before. Mm-hmm. I didn't know my father was engaged before my mother. I didn't know any of that. You know, the mm-hmm. things that I just didn't think of asking. Mm-hmm. What it was like to do post-war rationing in my mother's time. You know, mm-hmm. just things like that that I'm like, gosh, what you've paved the way for us. It's just a gratitude that comes from reading their answers. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I did it. I thought we should just, I gained so much from my mother learning and listening to her wisdom that I just thought, oh, we can just make this into a book. It's the easiest book I've ever written. But I've loved hearing the stories from it. It's lovely to make the reader the writer for a change.
Yeah, I like that. You know? Now, have you answered the questions?
No. Too terrified to answer my own questions. It was actually, I test run it actually on probably about 50 people that were over the age of 70. And there was one guy that said, you know, I don't know whether I want to write about the affairs I had when I was younger. I went, I totally get that. But wouldn't it be interesting for younger folk to learn why you had them? Why? Mm. You don't have to give us the names. This isn't a confessional book. Mm-hmm. You can leave that out. But you could tell us what changed. What was the revelation or the restoration that you needed to stop doing that? And so, yeah, so there's a part of me that's, I need to at some point, mm-hmm. I will. Mm-hmm. But I haven't actually been given the book myself. I thought, no, I'm not going to fill this in myself. But a lot of people have. A lot of mothers and single parents have, like, been filling it in. I've been asking foster parents to do the same for their foster children, mm-hmm. bio parents that are needing to explain their life a little bit more so that their children, even if they've been handed over to foster care, will actually start to learn them. So, big advocate for fostering as well. So trying to get it more into that world as well.
I love it. I think so many of us don't know our parents very well. Because you, thinking of, the first time I looked at my mom and realized she's human.
Oh,
she's aging.
I'm like,
oh,
I know, isn't that terrifying?
I was like, well, what did I see all these years?
I know.
Like, one day I woke up, you're getting older.
Yes. Why are you doing that? We need you. I remember actually fostering for the first time, and I was so terrified the first day that I had an 11-year-old come to my... Sorry, I'm going off script here, but I...
No, you're good.
You've inspired me on a story, and it was just this that I remember him walking up the steps. He had his hair over his face because he was so shy and so embarrassed, and he'd just come from his home that morning, kicking and screaming, caught that day. Like, it was a big day for the kid. And I spent, like, 24 hours with him, and I called my own mother, and I went... I'm so sorry. I never actually asked how you are. Like, I just realized it's all been about us, what you've been doing right or wrong, whatever it's been. And I've been so blessed with a beautiful mother. But I forgot to ask how she's doing. And it sounds like a crazy thing to do. Of course I would ask her, but I wanted to know how she really was. Mm-hmm. And I said, gosh, I've just realized when you have a child that the first thing you wake up for in the morning is thinking about what do they need, what's breakfast looking like, when are they getting to school, and the service and the sacrifice that our parents have made for us, if we've been lucky enough to have them at all, and the gratitude that brings. So you're right, but yeah, it's a humbling moment to mm-hmm. discover that.
Absolutely, know. Absolutely. What's next?
Ooh, I think it's the novel. Oh, I've said that out loud now, so I have to commit to it. I think it's the novel. We're still working on this beautiful script about the deaf community. Mm-hmm. I think they've raised most of the money for it now. And I think it's going to be quite a historic film because it's got more of the deaf community than any other film has ever made before. I'm so learning more sign language. But I think the novel, I think trying to figure out more collaborations with other people, somewhere like this is a great place to be meeting people and just be able to start thinking, dreaming again. You know, we've been in 3 years of kind of oppressed, just survival. And I think 2024 is the year to dream again.
Ah, I love that. I like that. The year to dream again.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Carrie, by the way, has a podcast called The Carry On. You can find it wherever you stream your favorite podcast. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Conversations from Studio 5. And thank you for making it your weekly destination for uplifting interviews in the world of lifestyle and entertainment. Hope you'll join us right here next week for another edition of Conversations from Studio 5. We're sitting down with Dr. Jay Barnett. He's a former professional football player. He's a therapist now. He's talking about mental health. For more information on this show, check out our Facebook page. You can also find us on Instagram. Simply search Studio 5. We'll see you right back here next week on the podcast.